All right. Good morning, Teach Better family. I am so excited because I have the wonderful Jeff Gargas with me this morning. And we just got done with a fantastic administrator mastermind. And so this is your recap for the week. And this was a question from a participant. And I reached out via Facebook and Voxer asking for different topics because, Jeff, as you know, we're not doing themes right now. We're literally trying to find things that are going on the campus level or the district right now and, you know, touch on it and try and collaborate as a group. And we had a really strong discussion this morning.
Yeah. I want to touch on, like, we're doing what I think we should do. Like, I enjoyed our themes and stuff, but like, we're listening to our community, which is what we've done in every other aspect of our business the entire last almost 10 years now, is listen to the community, to you, asking the questions in the places we have. So if you're not familiar, like Josh referred to the obviously the Facebook group, the Mastermind Facebook group, which is now there. And so you can, when you register, you can go get the group first, or you can go to teachbetter.com/mastermind first and you'll get invited to the group. So it all works out. And then obviously the Voxer group, if you want to be in there and stuff. So I love that we took this from literally something that was happening in someone's district right now that they're working through. So good info. Can I throw the question at you that kind of came from her that started the whole thing?
Yeah, please.
Okay. All right. So the question was, how do you ensure that you're, well, this is how like you incorporated her question. It was, right, how do you ensure that your staff is proficient in understanding and interpreting the data relevant to their roles? So we're talking about student data and information that they're gathering from the many different ways in which we gather data.
Yeah. So what was going on with this administrator was they were just getting different excuses as far as, you know, why they weren't using data within the classroom and in instruction. And so, you know, that's where it came from. So, you know, we wanted to kind of pinpoint how are we establishing that at the campus level with our teachers, because a lot of times teachers are like, you know, I'm not a data person, or I want to focus on other aspects of, you know, the profession. Like right now our kids are struggling with social emotional aspects. I want to like dive 100% into that and not look at data right now. But as we know, especially in the time of year, that's not really a possibility. So, you know, we had talked about, you know, as a group, just making sure that we understood that, you know, part of the teaching profession is making sure that we are touching on the standards and truly understanding what a standard is. And so we talked about some things in regards to understanding what a priority standard is, because a lot of states right now have kind of highlighted standards as far as these are the main components that you need to hit throughout the year. And then there might be some substandards that come from that. But, you know, a lot of times our teachers don't even know what those priority standards are and what they truly mean. So, you know, we had talked about meeting with our teams as far as unpacking the data and truly looking through each of the standards so they understand the verbiage and the language and what is really required of them to work with the students. And we can't, as administrators and leaders, just assume that the teachers, one, know how to access the data, two, understand what data to pull, and three, how to disaggregate it to understand, you know, what students are struggling, what are our bubble students, and then what are our students that are excelling. So, you know, there was a lot of conversation on this first questions of just even understanding what the term data means.
Yeah. I
mean, there's so many different ways to look at that. And some folks may put one testing score or, you know, program data kind of at the forefront, and sometimes that's incorrect. And so we need to make sure that we're not just assuming that our staff understands, you know, all of those different pieces, that we need to make sure that we're kind of guiding them through the process.
Yeah. And not assuming that they, one, obviously understand, but if they do understand, they know how to analyze and assess the data, that we're all doing it the same way and for the same purposes, right? And you mentioned the there was a little bit of talk right at the start of this about the sort of struggle for some of the teachers between focusing on the SEL, the socio-emotional stuff, and the relationships versus digging in the data. They felt like there was going to be this, there needed to be this, like it was a this or that. And we talked a little bit about how, no, it's together. And if you change your mindset, focusing on the fact that understanding the data and being able to realize what the purpose of the data is, which is not to punish a child or call them out, but rather to understand where they're at and what they need, that actually builds into that socio-emotional part, that or into the, and into that relationship, because you're truly actually understanding now in their learning journey, where they're at, and how you can best support them. And so we talked a little bit about that and some ways to connect that and have the conversation. So this was a ball, because I think the meeting to start right of the mastermind was around this, and really having the open dialogue and conversation with teachers, and giving them and building a space that they understand that they don't have to be experts at it yet, and it's okay if they don't fully understand how they should be utilizing it, so that we can all have a conversation to best utilize it to support the students that we care about. So it was a great question, and I feel like this administrator seemed to walk away happy with where we got. So hopefully that leads to an impact in their district, which is awesome. So,
well, I think Ray had touched on it too, of like, if you're doing it the correct way, it should give you more time to build those relationships with
students. It should, yeah.
So I thought that was a great point. And I totally agree that this administrator had been taking notes through the session this morning and felt good about, you know, where we landed as far as collaboration.
All right, let's flip to the second question we kind of dug into, was talking about what strategies do you employ to make data discussions with staff more interactive and engaging and encouraging that active participation?
Yeah, so this was interesting because I think a lot of people have the same experience, both as a teacher, but then also as administration, that those sessions are pretty dry and boring. Very boring. And that there's low participation with people looking out the window, longing to get in their car. So what are we doing to change that? So, you know, I think one of the suggestions that was really effective, and I've done this myself as an administrator, is making sure that it's not just the admin or someone from the district office coming down to talk about data, but it's also having your teachers deliver that information. Mm-hmm. Because I think it's different when you have a leader talking about it versus a peer. And
absolutely, you
know, we had some phenomenal teachers on our campus that did a phenomenal job of using that data decision making and how they implemented it in that classroom. So it's like, well, why wouldn't I have that person share that out to the rest of the staff? Because obviously they're being successful in doing that. And that's exactly the model that we want to incorporate in every classroom. So,
and not to mention that's an opportunity for them to step to a leadership opportunity, a chance for them to say, yeah, you know, I want to take this, I want to do this. It's also a really great way to assess whether that particular, educator is on the same page as you, and they understand and then the use and the focus on the data, because how they present it and share it is going to tell you a lot and hopefully open up a lot of opportunity for discussion. But to each point, I think also, like you already iterated, the fact that like coming from a peer is different because it's coming from another classroom, not from the top down. And I think that's so strongly encourage that as well. We also talked about PLCs and bringing that stuff in and using formative data to work through that. And then what was the other, a couple other ones were working with students to set goals for their data.
Yep. So the PLC model one was discussed in the sense that instead of just doing like a giant group, just a whole group, you know, breaking it down to make it into some smaller groups to really kind of dive in and make it more subject specific, but then also having one-on-one meetings with teachers to kind of work through state assessment and some of the other, you know, data components. If it's like, you know, maybe it's subject specific. I know some people will use other types of testing also, depending on the state that you're in. You know, I think MAP was talked about this morning also. So also you said the talking with students piece, and I thought that was huge. This is something that a lot of administrators have tried to implement, in the sense that, you know, it's important for our students to understand the data too. Understand, you know, that there should be setting goals for themselves as far as, you know, this is where I stand now, but this is where I want to go in the future. And so, you know, even on my campuses in the past, like we had some great growth in that because our students started to understand what was going on in their own journey. Like it's important. Yeah. It's their data. They should know.
Right. Like, so like letting them own it, we talked earlier about like changing sort of the mindset. Like if you're able to get the students involved in them owning that data, like they should be owning their educational journey and understanding it, and instead of fearing it or, you know, avoiding the conversations because they're worried about how they did or how they might be judged, or like bringing them into the conversation, one, you're probably going to learn a whole lot that you didn't realize, but also hopefully going to relieve some of the tension that comes around this data, because it's just part of our world, whether we like it or not. It's how the state regulates things. It's how we assess how they're doing. I mean, it's an important piece of the job. So, and the people that we serve are those students. So bringing them in and allowing them to be part of the conversation, I think is awesome. If you're able to pull that off, strongly encourage.
Yeah, I think the main component was frequency.
Like yes.
How often you're having these conversations. And that's with your students, that's with the teachers. Shoot, it's even with the parents. You know, a lot of times, you know, data gets sent home. I know a lot of programs right now, you can email it, you can text it to parents. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, you know, they're lost in that communication as far as what does this even mean? Like, it's just an arbitrary yeah. number. And so is, I think, you know, we had talked about toward the end of the conversation as far as like professional development, but I think what it comes down to is just making sure it's not overwhelming for everyone, that you're constantly and every meeting opportunities for people to ask questions and to mm-hmm. not feel overwhelmed. I think it's the biggest thing with data. So just making sure that we're reviewing it consistently in small chunks, and then also making sure that we're trying to explain it the best we possibly can for folks, so that it's not this like evil thing that nobody ever wants to touch or talk about. You know, it's something that, I mean, a lot of states right now, it's part of the job. It's a part of your contract moving forward. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you need to make sure that one, you understand it, you have a safe space to ask questions, but then also that you're doing something with the data to make sure that students are successful moving forward.
Yeah. And the last piece you kind of touched on, we only had a few minutes to discuss this, but we did talk briefly about some professional development opportunities that folks were either already doing or considering doing with their staff. And you kind of we touched on some of the frequency and meeting. One person mentioned that they have monthly team meetings around this. What I don't know if you want to touch on what they shared there, but I was curious also, like in your experience, how you've provided that additional the ongoing learning opportunities for your staff to continue to understand at a higher level mm-hmm. and to innovate and be engaged.
Yeah, I think we had talked about the PLC model. Like mm-hmm. I think that was discussed too this morning, as far as how that's changed and how the PLCs in the past have kind of crumbled based on a few different reasons, and how they're trying to revive that. And I think the PLC model can be extremely effective. But again, it's that frequency piece. If you're looking at data at the beginning of the year, at the middle of the year, and then done, I mean, that's not enough for your staff to truly dig in and mm-hmm. find what they need, but then also to truly understand it. So I think the more that we can, you know, establish protocols and a system for them to make it as easy as possible, I think that's only going to help your staff flourish in it. Because I think sometimes these data models that we produce in some of the protocols is so intense, and you know the teachers are freaked out. They're like, I don't want to do this. This is too advanced. I don't have the time. I mean, that's when the excuses start to come in to play. And so for me, it was just like, okay, what can we cut? What can we reframe? What's really important? And then of course, like making sure that we're touching the data as frequent as possible. So it's just part of the process and it's not overwhelming to them.
I love it. Good conversation. You should join us next time. I'm talking to you watching, not Josh. I'm talking to you.
I was like, dude, I'm here every week.
You should join us the next time. Teachbetter.com/mastermind to get in. We've got the new Facebook group that is growing daily right now and becoming more and more active as well. So Josh, anything else for our folks?
No, I'm just super excited about, you know, the upcoming sessions. I love our new formats. So if you are watching, you missed the session and you have a topic that you want to cover, you can always throw it in the comment, or like Jeff said, jump in the Facebook group. A lot of folks have been posting resources, questions, just having wonderful conversation. I was just having a great time with our starter with holiday movies and trying to figure out if
Die Hard was a good time. These recaps, you only get a little bit. You don't get all as much of the fun from the meeting and stuff. So make sure you get in. It's free. You don't have to come every week. We have people that drop in mm-hmm. once a month, once every couple months, every day or every week sometimes. But you get the Facebook group no matter what. That's your ongoing, always connection to that community. And then you can join us when you can on Tuesday mornings. And hopefully we see you there sometime soon.
Yeah. All right, Jeff. I appreciate you. I appreciate everyone that was in attendance. And if you couldn't make it this week, we'll see you next week.